Darklord.
Welcome back to 321 Backlog, a podcast where two guys discuss what short and sweet really means while clearing their backlog. But today is a very special episode. We are not talking about our backlog. We are talking about something that'll excite everybody.
It's a games that I don't think ever really leave your backlog. It's just at least for us or for me, it's just continuously come back into my life for the last 20 years.
So at the time of recording this, we're like on the verge of we're talking about World of Warcraft. We're going to talk about our experience with the game and like the ups and downs and over the years that we've played it off and on, and you know, what we've enjoyed about it and all that stuff. But we are on the verge of the newest expansion coming out, which I don't think either of us are really going to play, but it's relevant. It's a good time to kind of reflect on it. And we're grown-ups now.
And the expansion that's coming out soon, the expansion we're talking about or alluding to that's about to be released is The War Within, which comes out August 26th of 2024. We're recording this just before that, so it's on the horizon for us, though for you listening, it just came out a few weeks ago. So I have not pre-ordered it. Over all the expansions, once we got past, I think, Pandaria, that's when I really dropped off after that.
And everybody did, yeah. Yeah. I think the entire fan base of the game dropped off around that time.
Because it really has changed over the years.
Yes.
Heavily.
Yeah.
Some of the changes I like, and then we'll talk about some of them didn't care for. Some of the like base things in the game I never really enjoyed as much because of how I play games. But
yeah.
This, to put those listening at ease, this game has spanned, we're over 20 years, right? Well, sure. Over 20 years.
Maybe.
That's just World of Warcraft. Because I know there were the Warcraft games that were more like real-time strategy.
It's actually, yeah, we're about to hit the 20-year anniversary in November.
Okay.
So.
Gotcha. Okay, so we're right there.
Yeah.
But that's for World of Warcraft. But the Warcraft games exceed that even farther, which
I don't know, they came out probably before you were born.
Yeah. So we're not going to go through every expansion, every feature, everything. We're going to, like you said before, we're going to reminisce, talk about some of the things we liked, moments we had. Just kind of.
I want you to actually give me the entire storyline from Warcraft all the way to the present. I want you to tell it like it's a D&D campaign. I'm gonna go to sleep, and like I said, I have an alarm set in about 7 hours.
Our story begins 10,000 years ago. So what I think we should start with is how we got started playing.
Yeah.
Travis, and I want to let you go first because you started playing before I did.
Yeah. So I had a job working doing air conditioning, like prefab, and a few of the people that I worked with played it. I was one of the youngest guys that worked there, and everybody had these like slick gaming computers, and they were all playing it, talking about it, and like I didn't even really know much about it, but we had all played RuneScape prior to that, like, you know, in middle school and onward. So I was kind of familiar with the concept because it is the same similar type of game. So I came in midway through Burning Crusade, which was the first expansion of the game. And I just played with like the people that I worked with. And at no point during my time playing that did I ever really know what was going on with it. Like, I hit the max level. I was like dragged through it. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know like the concept of min-maxing like the way that you do things, so I did everything like slow, and that's the way I think that you should have played it back then. But it was a grueling game to play. It was awful, and I would just come home from work and get on and play it until I literally fell asleep at the chair, and then I would crawl into bed and repeat, go to work and do that. And I didn't really enjoy it that much.
Yeah.
But then I stopped playing for a decent amount of time, and then you picked up with me.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about that.
I was hellbound on staying on RuneScape. At the time, this was early high school days for us while we were playing RuneScape, and then into high school and out of it is where we made that transition.
Yeah.
And I was like, RuneScape is the peak of RPG fantasy. Like, this is the thing, right? This WoW thing, I don't want to pay extra every month, even though I had a premium membership with RuneScape.
Can you even chop wood in WoW? No.
No. So I was really reluctant to start, and I guess I similar thing. I really didn't know what the whole fuss was about, and I went over to hang out with you one day, and you were like still playing something and still doing something, and my first exposure to playing at all was, I think, you stepping away from the computer or something, and you were like, "Walk me over there," and I just like got on and started moving your character around.
Gotcha, bitch.
For like, you know, 5 minutes, and after that I was hooked. I think that night bought the base game, leveled through that, then bought Burning Crusade, leveled through that, because when I started playing, and I think it might have been getting you back into it, was Lich King was just about to release. So I started playing before Lich King came out, and I leveled up through, and then as I was finishing up getting to, at the time, like level 70 or something, Lich King dropped. And that's how I got into it.
So, based on what you're saying, you must have started playing it while I was in Burning Crusade.
Yeah.
And then I stopped playing and you kept playing.
It could have been. It could have been.
Yeah, because I came into the second expansion at kind of a midway point again. So you had played it at that point. You had put more time into it than I did.
And my wife will attest to this, and you know it, honey. I have a very addictive personality. When I get on something I enjoy, I'm 1,000% into it.
Yeah.
And that also with how World of Warcraft is structured as a game and as just everything the game does to keep you invested makes it just insane. So I'm pretty sure I had multiple occurrences of the game telling me, hey, you've been playing for a while, maybe you should take a break, because it would have the little banner near the chat window that would do that after, like, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours straight of playing. I think my longest stretch was probably 20 hours in one sitting. Like, it got bad. So
that game was what made me realize that I needed glasses to like read text over a long period of time. Like, when I'm at the computer, I have to wear glasses, because just playing that, I was getting these crazy headaches, and I was like, I don't understand why. It doesn't make sense. I'm not going to Google it, because that means I can't play the game for a little while.
So, you know, I enjoyed doing the dungeons and trying to get into raids. I liked the lore of it. I liked the stories when we would do, not some of like the super low level quests, but, you know, to that like midway point and then the further expansions. I liked all the quest lines and the stories they were telling. So I really dove into that side of it pretty heavily, where I think you eventually gravitated more into PvP. I really enjoyed the raiding side of it, though I wasn't the best, you know, getting and learning that game, but it was, that's the part that dragged me even further into it. I met friends through that, or gained friends from just playing WoW. I met And again, at the time we were in high school, and I met like a grade school, like a sixth, fifth, sixth, maybe seventh grader. So there was a bit of an age gap there. And most of the time you're just talking with them through chats and all that. And then as you start getting into guilds, and then people start putting out, what was the voice chat we used back in the day? Like,
Ventrilo.
Ventrilo. People would put their vent servers on there, and then we'd start hearing those voices match with just the usernames that people had. And there was this guy, this kid at the time that was like, I don't know, fucking 5 to 8, 9 years younger than me. And we played in that group for so long. I still have him on my friends list to this day. And he'll, every couple of years, one of us will message each other and he's like, hey, how you doing? You know, what's the life like now? And like, he's now in college, and I think he's probably out of college by now, but you know, a game that you met somebody just purely through the internet, and then have like this long standing kind of like, not relationship, but like just that line of communication, you know, with people you've never
Yeah, that's
meet.
actually the game is how I met my wife.
Oh, really?
No, but it is funny because when I like when the boys got more into the game, we were like out of high school when we really got into it. And we had a friend in our group that we played with a lot, and he was like 11 or 12 years old, just a really, really good player. Very good at the arenas and everything like that, and I still talk to him. He's an adult now. He's like in his late 20s, and like he's like a normal guy, you know. But it is crazy, like you said, like you just when you talk to somebody and you get to know them, like from playing just a game, you know, you kind of become invested. We even had this isn't the same thing, but we had a kid that just played against us in a game of Heroes forever ago, and he was on the other team, but the shit he was doing in the game fit in so well with like our general play style of how stupid we get with that game that we added him as a friend immediately and then invited him to our party and continued to play with him after that for years. I actually invited him to my wedding. He
Really?
didn't go. Yeah, he lived very far away. But we played with him a lot back in the day. So yeah, pretty crazy.
I love it. There was this guild I was in for a very long time. I don't know if it's still a thing. I know the original guild leader, I think she still plays, but it was I think it, we what was our original server?
Stella was the original
Stella?
server.
I think it was on that one, or it was after we transitioned to Emerald Dream. I cannot remember. But it was Congregation of the Damned. I think it was like a band or something. And that was my longest running consistent guild where I met a lot of people through that. And we would have like online LAN parties and shit. It was just a bunch of hijinks and stuff. They had a Facebook group for the guild and stuff. It was wild.
It is funny when we switched over to Emerald Dream Ice, we went into this really big PvP guild, and I remember they had like an application process. You had to go on a website, and it's just, I mean, it's a sign of the times. Like, you would never do that shit now. But yeah, there was like this long application. You had to like agree to these specific rules and take like a fucking quiz based on like what your expectations were. Really dumb. So what kept you playing like all
I
that time?
think
What was it that you
it was that addictiveness on myself, and also just how that game is structured. It's I see
Okay.
in college I did a it was a psych class, and I talked about games and how things get quote unquote gamified, and there are traits, characteristics, features, whatever you want to call them, that these game designers will use to keep you wanting to come back to it.
Yeah.
And in that presentation I gave, and I can't remember because this was years ago, I compared World of Warcraft to Candy Crush. And okay. In these specific bullet points, both games did the same thing, except for one, which was the world progressing while you're not playing.
Oh, yeah.
Candy Crush is a solo game, but World of Warcraft, like, even though you're not on, your guild's still
on. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Right. So, you know, you're effectively, you get psychologically that sense of like, oh, I'm now missing out because I'm not playing.
Yeah.
So that was a big part of what kept me playing. I like the stories. I like the lore. I've read a few of the Warcraft books that were really good. The first one, the name escapes me, but it was basically the story of like the Horde before they came to Azeroth. Sorry, the orcs before they came to Azeroth, when they were like still learning about like the Draenei and some of the shenanigans that was happening in the Warcraft movie, which was slightly altered, but it was a book mainly about that, like while the orcs were mostly all still like green and stuff, or any, I'm misremembering stuff because it's all been years, but
I think yeah, they were green, yeah, maybe
it was the movie went one way. I think originally they were like brown tones, and then what was it, Gul'dan and all them made weird contracts with like demon folk, and it's just which then turned them green, which is why Thrall's green, because his earlier lineage made that switch to the bad, quote unquote, bad side. Though Garrosh wasn't, because his lineage stayed, quote unquote, pure.
Oh, I just read it. Yeah. So yeah. They were originally like brownish, and then they consumed the blood, and then they turned red. Yeah. And then I think the pacified ones in the future turned green. Once they got over their addiction,
which and again, if I remember the story correctly, it was because the Draenei were escaping like their planet or something, and they were like outcasts or refugees or something that came, and basically it was the force that was chasing them then used the orcs to like be like a counterattack on them. So basically this alien thing that was chasing these cast out Draenei to eliminate them all basically manipulated a handful of orcs to then pit them against each other. So originally they were like neutral, okay, fine, and then they started like getting into conflict.
Yeah.
Which after the Draenei became into like the Alliance, that's because they went that way, because they were like trying to get away from the brutish orcs and stuff. Really, really fun lore. But anyway, that was the addictive way that these games are, and the stories. I really did like the stories that it was telling. So
yeah, dude, PvP arenas, bro, you know, just killing other nerdy kids, just shaming them.
Yep. We have very different ways we enjoy our
there were fucking books. What?
You got them all for me through, well, you got me digital versions, and then I
went, oh, off. yeah, via the internet.
Yep. Napster, was it Napster?
Dude, for me, the big thing that kept me playing was like, well, for one, everybody that we were friends with played it. And that's like the thing that, like, if everybody got on a game right now and the game was $200, I would buy it and I would play it until everybody stopped playing it, because that's just the way that it works with our friend group. But I really enjoyed the arenas. It was like highly competitive. I wasn't even good at it at the time, like when we first got into it. I started out doing the stuff that you liked about the game, like the progressive rating, where you got to get like a group of 25 people. Everybody has a set role. And I really did enjoy that. I would like set a day of the week to play with people I didn't know. We would get in the Ventrilo thing and like talk. Yeah. I would order pizza and play the game while eating pizza like a fat idiot. And I sucked at the game. But I did pretty well at that, and then we got everybody like moved hardcore into arenas on my end of things, because it's like that's the competitive edge. That's, you're not playing against a computer, you're playing against other players that can adapt mentally and physically, and it was just everything, dude. Like, we were in college, so like my responsibility was playing that game and getting C's in college, and that was basically all I had to do, you know what I mean? And we all worked, dude. Another thing too, like, so many of our friends worked at the same place too.
Yeah,
like, we all worked at a fireworks store through college, so it was like you had like so much free time to do whatever you wanted during the year, and you were still getting paid. You just bring a laptop and play at work.
Yep. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. But another thing that I want to bring up that I enjoyed about that game was, like, we would always take hiatuses. Like, we would play the game and then, like, take a hands-off approach for a little while. But you could always go back and do the shit that you missed.
Yeah.
And, like, just grind out, like, the reputation grinds that you would normally have to do over months and months. You could do very quickly in the future, like, once everything's, you know, once it's a relevant content, basically. But you could very easily experience the game that you didn't get to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like what you would do if you weren't playing with the bros. So, right.
And what was and that point I'm going to bring up later for another topic we have. But
okay. Me and Jason used to like make new characters and level. Like, we made them like the same time in the same zone, and like never played if the other person wasn't on, because we had our like main account and our alternate account, and we would like play them to where it was like we would level up at the exact same enemy that you kill. Like, it was so fun just doing that, because it was like, do you want to do this? Do you have time to get on? Yes, we both get on at the same time, and we were just like moving one-to-one doing everything. And he was in the same boat as us, dude. Just free time and $15 a month.
Yeah, man. On the PvP thing, one thing I can't remember if you remember this or I've mentioned it before, but I tried my hardest, because I'm not good with the PvP stuff to you and Jason's degree. But you tried getting me through some of those 2v2s. And one of our longest stretches or longest sessions of trying to do it, I queued up a song to play to match the countdown of when the battle, arena would start. It was All That Remains, Second Sucks. And basically it has a little guitar riff at the front, and then it kind of like flattens out and goes fight, and then like goes at hard metal. And I would cue that up for right when it says fight, the doors would open, and then, you know, it'd be like heavy metal playing as we were losing. But that was just for me.
as we were getting wrecked. Yeah. I remember playing it like, I think it was Tuesday night, the server, the arenas would reset and your rating would get posted.
Yeah.
And like the theory that Jason and I had was Tuesday night, everybody was just trying to get their points in, so we would be at like an advantage. I don't know if that was actually true, but that was the idea, was that we would be better than those people that were just doing it casually to try to get their points.
Right.
So we would try to advance off of those people and get our ranking higher. And we would stay up all night on Tuesday, and then I had class in the morning, and I would go to college on zero sleep. After and we would get so stupid about it, we would just play Journey, Don't Stop Believing, just to be dumb all night, dude, the entire time we're playing it. Because again, this was back when you had like Ventrilo servers, so you would do like push to talk, but we'd do open mic, and we would put like Jason put like a cologne bottle specifically on the push to talk key, and it would hold the key down, so we were open mic. Which is now very common. Everybody talks and it's just always there, but you used to have to push a button down to communicate.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what I did to keep my thing open mic'd, but we would just play Don't Stop Believing, and it would like play through both of our headsets for us. And we were very bad at it. We were at the high end of bad.
Right. Because you guys got to like 2200? What was the high guy? I remember that was the number that you guys always thought, oh, we got 2200 this week or whatever.
Yeah, so that was later on. Okay. That was later on. I did get like in the top. Do we need to talk about this? I got pretty high in like the world percentages. I was in the top 10%, which with how many people were playing at that time?
Four
people.
Yeah, but roughly.
Man, let's see how many players.
Millions. I mean,
10 million people, and I was in the top 10%. So,
not bad.
That doesn't sound great.
I was probably in the bottom 10%. So,
but it was something like a personal goal that I wanted was to get that rating. But that was much later on.
Right.
We'll talk about that a little bit, but
so
what was your favorite expansion, brother?
My favorite expansion was Cataclysm. A close second was
Pandora. Why are you not playing Cataclysm Classic right now?
Man, let's not even go there. Cataclysm, I think I was Cataclysm was the first expansion of a few that I took a week off from work when it dropped. Like, I was that deep.
Yeah.
And good gravy. So I wanted to get highest level as quick as I could, run through everything, see everything right away so I could experience it without the work going on and all that. And that was definitely my first bout of like those like 20 hour sessions of just playing all day. And I liked
the high point of the game was also the low point of your life.
Yeah. Well, I liked what they did because I didn't like the vanilla stuff. So when I started playing, the only reason vanilla existed was to get you through the first 60 levels. That was your only goal, was to get out of it as quickly as possible. Right? Because it felt like a big slog. I mean, how many times can you go through the fucking crossroads before it gets mundane and annoying? So I Cataclysm went back and kind of revitalized some of those earlier vanilla areas, like the crossroads where you've got a northern and southern barrens. You're seeing this massive cataclysmic event that's changing the entire map, not just giving you a new area, which it gave you new areas, but it also made heavy edits to existing ones. And I really liked that. So that's, I think, was my favorite one. It's the one I think I like really went ham into. The guild was really strong then. I had a lot of people like to play with at the time. So I think I got truly my money's worth during Cataclysm.
That was a good one. It's weird because when that one came out, I remember like hating it so much and like thinking I was like going to like it a lot. And then I was like, oh, this sucks. Like, this is just not what I wanted in the game and all that shit. And now that I like, now looking back at it, I think it was a really good expansion. Like, I kind of wish we had played it a little bit more back then, but I think I was focused on school at that time, like a loser.
Right. But if I remember correctly, they started adding like either adding or really refining your ability to connect with people.
That was near the end of it.
Yeah, like Raid Finder started becoming a thing.
Yeah, that was closer to the end.
They were doing a better job getting like cross server play.
Mm-hmm.
Because certain servers you could be waiting hours to queue for anything, right? And they started, I think, refining that cross server play. So I think they made a lot of improvements. I also believe, I think Cataclysm, I'm trying to remember 20 years worth of playing, but I think Cataclysm, they redid their character models, if I remember correctly. It was either that one or the one after.
It was the one after.
Was that okay?
Yep.
So, I have a fondness for that time frame. So that was probably
Yeah.
my favorite one.
Yeah. That was so I'm thinking I'm pretty sure that was when I was like deep in school. Like I was really like in it and it wasn't like an option to take the time off. It wasn't like stupid easy community college classes for me anymore, so I had to put more focus in it, but I like it. I liked that expansion a lot. I want to say my favorite was probably Lich King overall. Because again, that was when everybody that I was friends with was playing. Like everybody was in it. It was like our friends were playing it. The people our friends were dating were playing it. Like everybody, you could just get on like any night of the week and everybody was like on and you were just move in a group, do your thing. And I also was really fond. I liked Myst the Panda expansion a lot too, because the player versus player arenas were very balanced then, which is like something that 10 different classes, I think, during Lich King to balance alone with each spec. So they did a really good job finally kind of tying it in, and everything was like everybody could be good, every class was viable. And that's never the case for that game. So that was cool. It was just fond memories. That was the time when like everybody was on, man. You know?
Yeah, for
You
sure.
could log in any time of any day and one of our friends would be on.
To the point about the classes, what was probably your favorite class overall?
So early on it changed a lot, or because the classes have, but early on the like Lich King era warrior was really good, where they had stance dancing because it was a very complex class to play. You had to switch from like a two-handed weapon to a sword and shield frequently to be able to like really pop. Like all of your defensives were tied to switching to that. Now it's just like you want to pop, like reduce your damage 40%, you hit that key and it reduces the damage. It used to be like you had to switch to defensive stance, switch weapons, use the ability. And I know it's complicated and people hated that about it, but it was fun. And I literally was playing with like a two button mouse at that point. So the amount of like finagling that you would do to be good at that game with a two button mouse and just a regular keyboard was fucking insane. Then Shaman became the class to play.
I'd
Did
say
you just sneeze, dude? Did you though? Or
no.
did you cough?
I think I coughed.
Oh, dude, I was like trying not to sneeze, and then it seemed like you sneezed, and I was like, that's permission for me to
No,
sneeze.
I think I'm getting sick, so I've got a lot of like scratchiness here.
Oh, that's not good. But yeah, we'll focus on the game. Sorry. Shaman was great, dude. It was like the what I enjoyed about the original part of the class again, all over again. Like the diversity of it. And it was always like intriguing to me when I like didn't know anything about the game, and that's when I got way more serious. That was the time where I was waiting to get a job and I had finished college. So I had nothing, like I had no it, I was working at Phantom, so I was getting that cheap money, but I didn't have the burden of college and I knew I was going to get a job soon. So I just had like the time to play, the time to do what I wanted, and I hadn't played really in like 2 years through all of like almost two expansions I guess I didn't play. So I really had like the time on my hands, and I got like everybody was like, "Oh, dude, you got to get these mice, these computer mouse that have like fucking 14 buttons on them." And that was I mean, that was a game changer for like the competitive scene of that game, dude.
Oh, for sure. I think I only ever went to a two on the side. I never went past that because I couldn't. One, I didn't need it for how and what I
Right,
played. So it was just too much like mental calculus to manage where all those were.
Dude, I had one that had 12 buttons right where your thumb would be, and then a button right here for your ring finger. that would function as a shift key and make those other 12 buttons work as 12 separate buttons, and I used every single fucking one of them.
That's crazy.
You would have a macro to be able to use an ability on each teammate on your arena team, and then the same macro to be able to cast the same, like, opposite spell on all three of the enemies on your team, depending on which one you needed to use it on. So,
I mean, you've already made fun of me for this. I have a hard time switching between PlayStation and Xbox controllers.
Good Lord, yeah.
Having that many buttons with shift keys and all that, this can't do it. I don't know why it's I have such a hard time with that type of.
Oh yeah, dude. I'll admit, like,
pitch, but yeah.
Yeah, when I first started playing with that type of mouse, I was nauseous, dude. I had like almost motion sickness because it was like I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, dude. My thumb, like, I felt like I was trying to like get a robot off 24/7.
Oh man.
Ladies.
So where are we at? What about
what was your favorite feature? What did you like? What was, out of all the things you could do in the game, what did, oh no, what was your favorite class? You didn't ever tell me.
Oh yeah. So my favorite class, my main, every time a new expansion came out, the one I hit first to the max level, always my druid. That was my first max level character. I liked druid because I could, if I really needed to, I could respec into whatever I needed.
Yeah.
So
they were the, they still are like the most diverse in the game.
Yeah.
They could do anything. Ranged, right. Melee, tank, heal. They can fill any role.
The druid archetype, I guess, across multiple kinds of games typically are very utilitarian. Utility based. They have a lot of utility to them. They have a lot of flexibility in what they can do.
Yeah.
Typically, they have a lot of good either melee or spells and healing. There's always self-healing at least. So even in the D&D space, druid is typically like very, sometimes considered very overpowered because it can check a lot of the boxes in any party composition. So I really liked having that. For a while I was a big achievement hunter, and one of the achievements was basically open up every part of every map and trying to go to the alternate faction starting zones. Extremely difficult unless you have stealth. Rogues could do it. Druids could also do it without much difficulty. Like, you know, the NPC guards would always be 10 plus levels ahead of you no matter what max level you were at, and you would get one shot always. So I like the flexibility of druid in all types of gaming media. However, I like the aesthetic and the concept of shamans much more, but how they're executed in a lot of these games I don't like as much as the druid. But I like the aesthetic of like a shamanistic caster, magic user, kind of nature based, kind of alchemical sometimes, depending on how you're looking at it and depending on how they're being portrayed exactly. I think I like the aesthetic of shaman a lot more than druid, but I end up favoring druid for WoW.
Yeah, I always think of you as a druid player, like Moonkin specifically.
Yeah. What about, did you have a favorite zone out of all the expansions we played? Was there like a zone or an area that you tended to like really dial in on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them. I'll try to keep it short. I always like Tenaris through every version of the game that I've played. It's just a giant desert for anybody that's not familiar with it. It was good because it had like, there was always a lot of conflict there with the opposite faction, so you would end up getting in these like never-ending fights with other players, and it was big open. There was like no hills, no places to hide, so there was always a lot of that. And it was a popular zone too, which helped.
Yeah.
I also really liked like Grizzly Hills just for the like beauty of it, which, shout out for Jason. That was like, Jason leveled a character without ever fucking leaving that zone. Like last time we played it, he just wouldn't leave, and it became a joke. And then I did it too.
Yeah.
And then like, I don't know, a lot of the old WoW zones for their clunkiness were just, I liked them a lot, but again, there was a lot of conflict there. So that was it. But
yeah.
What about you, man? What was your spot? What was your hangout? What was your chill spot, bruh?
For leveling, I don't think I ever had a favorite. I liked all, in every expansion, there was an NPC, the hunter guy. What was it? Hemet Nezingwary.
He's my, I made a little notes and I put him in there too, because it was always like the fun quest.
So because I was always a druid, I always picked skinning and leatherworking.
Oh yeah.
And his quest specifically was go kill a fuck ton of things that can be skinned.
Yeah.
And that was it. So, but all of his areas were very lush, colorful, teeming with life, right? Nagrand,
Sholazar.
Sholazar, and then what was the Northrend one? It was above Boring Tundra.
That was Sholazar.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And I forget where he was after that. But anyway, all of his zones that he was in, I really liked the look of those. Very lush, very full of life.
Yeah.
I really liked those. Very vibrant would be a good one as well.
I like those quests too, because they were very busy and it was never like a little fetch quest where you have to do like dumb stuff. It was just like go murder 30 elephants and report back. Done.
We did skip it. The feature. Did you have a favorite feature?
Arenas.
Arenas, yeah. That's pretty short and sweet. Mine was Raid Finder. I liked I think now there's a sweet spot in this next statement that I think WoW had for a little bit, and before it was really bad, and after it now it's gone a little bit too soft. But like your ability to assemble a group to do a thing. Early WoW was fucking excruciating. While you guys were dragging me, kicking and screaming through playing classic WoW over the last couple of months, hated it. It was they've made so many quality of life improvements since I had been playing that I just got used to it. So the Raid Finder and your ability to be like, hey, you know what? I want to go experience this thing. Because old raids, when they had story attached to them, I have to find 40 people to go do a thing and maybe we're going to fuck it up. No, that's ridiculous. I want to be able to queue in. You got a bunch of like-minded people that want to see this stuff and play this thing and do it. And then to now, and it's, I'm not 100% on the most recent expansions, but it did start getting into, it got a little too easy. They started automating a bit too much to where it took too much of the challenge out of it. So it started to become,
you just like queue up for it. It posts a YouTube video.
Yeah.
You watch the YouTube video and then the achievement goes in your thing and that's all you have to do.
I think in that Kata to Panda time frame for like the Raid Finder experience, the getting your community together, your sense of playing with people together, I think that was a sweet spot in trying to have that happen. So I think that kind of feature was my favorite during that time frame.
I disagree. I you're wrong. You're wrong. I liked arenas the best, man. They were the best, and there's no real argument that you could possibly come up with. You just gates open, three people on one side, three people on the other side. You get to pick your team name. It could be whatever you want. You got a door, you got a gym. That was one of ours. And you just battle it out, man. And it was, if you haven't played the game, you don't understand. If you have played it, you get it. But it was like a long game of chess in a lot of ways. It was like, you know what your weaknesses are. You know what you don't know what you're playing against until the gates pop up.
Right.
And then you see what you're playing against. And it's like you have to quickly figure out who your target is going to be, who you're going to control in the fight. who you're going to try to dismiss, who you're going to focus.
Right.
Who on your team they're going to go for. And, you know, like when somebody changes their position in the field, you need to be aware of every single, all six people's position. Because if they're moving over here to the left, they might be going for your teammate, or they might be coming around to come for you. I don't know. There was just so much counterplay in it, and it was super competitive. And I loved it from the beginning because, like, the first time that I tried it, I had no fucking clue what was going on. I like, we always joke about this in our friend group. They asked me what I thought of it because I had other, like, two of our friends were doing it for a while. And they were like, do you want to try it? And I was like, yeah, I'll try it, sure. And my first thing I said at the end was, all I saw was wolves. Because that's all I remembered about it. And going from not even being able to tell what was going on in the game to being really fucking proficient at it was fun. So that's my... Right, I have an erection.
Let's see here. Let's speed through. I have a quick one for this, so I'll let you expand if you want. Did you have a favorite NPC, like a named character from any of them?
I like the Hemet Nezingwari guy that you talked about. I also really liked the Consortium people from Burning Crusade. They were like, oh, not like a specific one, but they were like almost like crystal people.
Yeah.
They looked cool. They looked cool as shit to me. I always wanted like to see that come up again, or for it to like a character for Heroes of the Storm to be in there.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But they never did.
No.
What about you, brother?
Mine, it's going to be a quick answer, and I'm going to expand on it as to why later. Okay. So it was Sylvanas Windrunner.
Okay.
So, I mean, she's got two really good reasons, but no.
Well, so I guess a rebuttal for that. We can move on.
I was going to say white man. We all know why. But no, I'll explain later on for another bullet point we have.
Yeah.
So, lastly, on this little favorite section, did you have a favorite like playable race?
Yeah, I on each side. So I liked Orc the best on the Horde.
Yep.
They're just like the brutish everything. That, like, they had a good dance. Like, they... I liked their racial ability, like, where it was just, like... the whole meme of, like, just going face was, like, a big thing. Like, Orcs are just, like, Orc smash. I don't know. I liked them a lot. Like, their racial ability was just, like, enhance how much damage you do. It was very straightforward. And then Drenai on the other side, because that's what I had to play as a shaman. They were... Everybody seemed to hate them. Their racial suck, but I did well with a
Drenai shaman. What was their racial thing? I can't remember.
They had, like, a heal over time.
Okay.
Something like that, I think. It was just, like, a self-heal, which didn't matter, depending on what class you were playing, but... Armor looked pretty good on them, even though they were weird looking. Like, the shoulder and headpiece of armor always looked pretty good on them.
Right.
But what about you?
I since I played Druid starting out for so long, and we were on the Horde for the majority of our play, I got stuck in Tauren for a while. So those became like my default. But in the newest, one of the newest expansions, they did like allied races, and there was like a new variant on the Taurens that looks really cool. So it's your basic same shape, but they have like moose horns.
Yeah,
really cool looking, deeper colors, more like filigree around, or like adornments on there.
But you like the foxes is what you're gonna say.
Yeah, the foxes are pretty cool. But I think for like general aesthetic, I guess, because their racials were could be good in certain situations. I did like the goblins.
You're a piece of shit.
They, you know, I mean, they're just green, nasty little gnomes, man. They're great. They're all sassy, and just I really like the goblins. How I like how WoW portrays the goblins.
I hate them so much.
All right, let's see here.
Wait, what about on the other side?
Oh, on the other side, I'd say to stick it with Cataclysm, and my wife and I played with these a lot, because she played the first time her and I played together was during Cataclysm. Worgen, I also
Yeah, I
like.
knew you
I
were gonna
like
say that.
the werewolf. I like that you basically get two characters to look at,
Yeah.
armor sets against. I liked the racial trait of being able to be your own mount, which is really cool. You could actually get on all fours and hightail it as if you were, instead of needing a mount, which is really fun. I liked how their starting zone was. The goblins was okay, but I think for those two comparisons, because they both came out at the same
Oh,
time,
yeah,
Worgen
Gilneas
starting
was a
out,
cool place.
it was real cool.
Yep.
So let's do real fast. We're gonna go over the same list that we just did for like our favorites, but we're just going to do rapid fire. What were our least favorites? Okay. And
Yeah.
you don't have to go through it if you don't want, unless you feel like it.
You want me to.
Worst expansion.
Worst expansion? Shit, man. That I actually played
Sure.
Legion or whatever.
Yeah, that one's
No,
fun.
Warlords of Draenor, sorry.
I did it okay. All right, cool. I thought it was
Dude,
all
you just sat in a garrison all day. The game sucked. That was when everybody
okay,
perma-quit that game.
yeah, the garrison, when my longest stretch after quitting in the middle of playing, I got on, sat in my garrison, did all my quests, and I looked at the clock. I had been in my garrison for 2 hours and had done nothing but dailies, and I
Yeah.
logged out, canceled my thing, and I didn't play
Yep.
for years.
So I'm right.
You are right. I was going to say vanilla because it was too crunchy, but I never played it. That's not really expansion, but I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, no, you're I mean that's fair to say though. Yeah. It's
Worst
fair to
class.
say.
Worst
Worst class?
class.
Shaman, my favorite.
All right. I didn't like Warlock.
Warlock, yeah, I will say like when again, the Warlords of Draenor thing, like when the Illidan class, whatever came out, that really
Demon
fucked up
Hunter.
the game a lot.
Yeah.
That, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really like Shaman, but for some reason they still do seem to get the short end of the stick.
Right.
Death Knights fucked that game up a lot, man. Like they
I
really messed
liked
up
it
so
though. Yeah.
much. Oh, they're good. Yeah, they're good. They were good. They were too good, but they just changed. The more stuff that they add in that game, the harder it is to balance. And that
Oh,
was the
for
first
sure.
show of that, like where they just had the best. It had to be the best to sell.
Right.
But
I
what
think
about you? What was it? You said Warlock?
I said Warlock, and this is more in terms of how good or bad I am at playing, whatever it is.
They're very complicated.
The more complicated it is to just to play any character in any game, if I have to sacrifice some of my own health to do a thing, forget it. Never gonna do it. Let's see. Worst feature in WoW.
Well, dude, I mean, garrisons,
That Garrison's was pretty bad.
but I was actually, I want to say just because I don't like you very much today, to an extent, looking for raid, like the raid
It
finder
has gotten
thing.
pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it also like, even in the very beginning when we were like, oh, this is kind of nice. It was a big part of what made the game like fall apart from a social aspect
Yeah.
for so many people. It took that out of that.
And why I liked it initially was because there was a lot of content I couldn't experience unless I had a bunch of people at my disposal,
Yeah.
right? So they did. There were tiers of raids if you were using Raid Finder. So like your basic stuff, you're gonna get like a crappier version of this gear set. If you want the good one, you got to do it the old-fashioned way. So
Yeah.
there were those, I guess, a check and balance system that I didn't mind. But I can see where it gets a little
Yeah.
frustrating.
And
I
I also want to throw a second thing because this is I feel like this is going to be nobody's opinion. Bind on account gear for leveling up trivialized everything early in the like everything until you get to max level. It made anybody coming into the game, it ruined everybody's experience having one person that had it in your
Right.
party.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, and for the record, what it did, again, if you didn't play the game, there was gear that leveled up with your character that got introduced and you could buy it, and it made it so like one character could just blast through everything and pull four other players with him and just ram through the content mindlessly.
Yeah.
And the more people that had it, that amplified it greatly. And if you came into the game after that existed, you got a bad experience leveling up because of how mongoloid fast
either shortly after or at the same time is when I think they introduced boost tokens.
Yeah,
because WoW, from like a company standpoint, and I made this comment when we were playing Classic, was because the leveling experience was so terrible. At a certain point, they want you to play their current stuff, so they need you to get up to the current stuff as quickly as possible if you want to pay the money. So I think that's where a lot of the disconnect was, is we don't necessarily want to go and buy the extra boost token or we only get to do it once, whatever it is. So we were kind of forced in our case to maybe go to the leveling gear side of it. So I see why they have it there, because they want you to, like, if somebody was starting out now, they're going to start with the War Within. How are they going to get there? They're going to boost a character that they've never played before, and you're not going to have any of that experience of, like, actually playing. I mean, coming in to a max level character right off the bat is hard to wrap my head around, at least.
Yeah.
But I totally get it. I did not like, I call it the WoW Pokemon, but it was Battle Pets.
Never did it.
It was such a waste of time.
I'm familiar with it, yeah, but I never did it because it wasn't my thing.
Pokemon, so didn't like that. Let's see here. Least favorite zone? I didn't have one, so I'm skipping this one.
Oh, fuck Thousand Needles. Every version of that place. Fuck that place.
I liked the Cata Flood. It was boring after playing it recently, but I liked that they made a change to it. Though it was
I'm glad I wish they would have flooded it just a little more and killed every character in that zone, every NPC. And the goblins
wouldn't be there.
You know what? Fuck those guys too. You know what pissed me off about that place was when we all came back to play Cata more recently, I was like, oh, let me just give it a try, because Alex won't stop stroking this fucking place. I went there
so bad.
In the path that made sense to me. You couldn't enter the zone unless you went a specific way and talked to one specific person. Otherwise, all of the characters and everything in that zone were missing.
Oh my goodness.
So you couldn't, it was just a dead zone. And I figured it out finally, but it was this is fucking stupid. You go in there and you take the path of least resistance and you go straight to the place where all the quests are supposed to be, and nobody there talks to you because someone didn't tell you to talk to them. Shut the fuck up.
Oh, that's funny.
Do you have a least favorite?
I don't have a least favorite. I mean,
bullshit.
No, okay.
WoW Classic Zones. I'll find one for you.
There's just so many. Okay, hold on. Actually, no, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, on
the Barrens.
No, okay. Take the Barrens. Go.
No.
No, hold on.
Hills,
hold on.
Brad Foothills. You hated it because you got camped there.
I did.
Yeah.
Take Hillsbrand, go south, and then on the coast. It was where that, it was like desert meets ashen, empty space. At one point, who's the one with the bear? The orc with the bear? Rexxar?
Yeah.
Rexxar was pathing through there in vanilla.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ashenvale, was it?
No, it was...
Arathi on the coast,
above. Oh fuck me! Hold on.
Desolus.
That might be it. Yeah. I think it was Desolus. Yeah, I didn't like that one. When there's the less life there is, that makes sense.
Oh yeah, I never played that zone.
It was just blah. There was a raid there right on the coast. I think Zorman Strand or something.
Yeah.
Or was that Nashville?
I don't know, brother.
Doesn't matter. I couldn't think of one.
A lot of the end areas of the original game were really bad. Like, it was just, there wasn't any content in them at all.
Yeah. Let's skip down to least favorite playable race. I mean, obviously for you, it's the goblins.
No, dude, fucking gnomes.
Gnomes are, yeah. I saw no difference between the gnomes and the dwarves. They had this essentially the same starting area. Aesthetically, they're very similar. They're just short-statured humanoids. Yeah, meh.
Same or what? What are you agreeing or are you disagreeing?
No, I'm agreeing with your statement. I didn't like humans because when I play a video game, I want to play a thing as far from what I can do.
Be a woman.
So yeah, I should be a human woman. No, so if I'm going to play a fantasy game, I want to play a fantasy race. I don't want to be a dude. You know what I mean? So I never, in my experience, in any time you have like a basic human playable race or lineage, bloodline, whatever you want to call it, they get slightly better benefits because they're so boring of a choice. They had that like really good PvP one where it was like they just clones themselves.
Yeah.
The only reason they had that is because they're a boring ass choice.
I immediately did say the gnomes, but I want to point that out. Like that was another thing that was a big issue was if you wanted to be competitive, you had to play a human in PvP, and they're like I don't like really anything about them. I don't even like that faction. Like the faction that had like all of the annoying like gnomes, dwarves, humans. I don't like any of that shit in a fantasy game, like in that game specifically. But that's where everybody migrated to because it was more competitive to be able to be on that side. So
for sure. Yeah.
Humans are the worst, you got it. And that goes for real game life everything.
Oh man.
Humans are the worst.
All right, let's get into the, I think what is going to be the fun section of this, because we're getting towards the end of our little checklist here. I called this little section the wish list. Was there anything you wished would have been added, done, introduced into any of these games?
Yeah, how much time you got?
I got all night.
Okay.
I don't have to
get so. The developers of the game did not really communicate very well with people at all after a certain... There was a developer, Ghostcrawler, that actively communicated really well. That guy got, like, quit, moved on, something happened to him, I don't know. But they don't communicate, the developers of the game. When it's a game that needs communication from people, the player versus player balance was bad for a very long time, and it's never getting any better. Healers are too strong in arena settings. They've had to like introduce stuff just to like try to counteract how strong they are instead of just making them not as good. They've done all this other bullshit. But out of my world, I would say less instanced gameplay. So like in that game, you go into a zone and it's the first time you've been there before, but your friend has been there before. You guys are at a different stage of the game for that zone specifically. So you might not even see your friend who's standing right next to you because he's not in your version of that zone. He's not on the same quest as you. So it made the game really disjointed, like trying to level with your friends or play with your friends. I think a lot of that is fixed in the current game, but nobody cares anymore.
Yeah, because I mean, there were a couple times where we'd all be questing together, and we didn't communicate. Oh, we're going to and rattle off that quest. So we, you know, two people go this way, one goes this way, and now we're off slightly, and now we can't interact anymore.
Yeah, you can't even see the same area. Yeah,
I liked what they were going for, but in execution, it can get a little squirrely.
Yeah,
for sure.
And what are the odds, too, that the, like, class combination that I enjoyed playing the most is the one that just doesn't get any notes posted? The expansion is about to go live tomorrow, is it? Is it tomorrow?
The 26th.
Okay.
Unless you got early access, which I think gives you an extra 3 days.
Sure. It's about to go live in a week, and the Shaman, which was the class I enjoyed the most, still doesn't have all of its notes out.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I think I would play it right now. Some of our friends started playing it again. I think I would play with them if that was better. I would at least play a little bit, you know, like Jason's on and I'm like, it's, you know, I'm bored. I look and see Jason's online. I would at least log in, but I have no interest in doing it because they just don't, they're not even trying anymore. But what about you? What's your wish list, buddy? I'm fucking bitter right now.
So I missed out on Shadowlands, and I was really intrigued because the Horde has gone through a lot of changes in their leadership because they all keep fucking dying after Thrall gave it up. So in the story, spoilers, and I'm not going to go through in the expansions, but it was Thrall, Garrosh went down, and I believe it went to Zul'jin, the troll.
Yeah.
And then right before Shadowlands, he got wounded, mortally wounded, and then he gave it to Sylvanas.
Yeah.
So for a short time, Sylvanas was the war chief of the Horde. And if you know anything about Sylvanas's story, she's really just been fucked with her entire existence and basically been on like a path of vengeance and trying to basically seek her own, which has been twisted over time, like justice of what's happened to her and basically all of the Forsaken, which are like the undead race. So I thought it would have been, to me, fucking phenomenal if they could have had, and I don't know if it could have actually happened logistically, so go on this ride with me, have her break off and you can actually have a third faction of Forsaken, which would mean when these Forsaken come into, you know, whatever, it's not just humans. We get undead dwarves, taurens, trolls, fucking worgens, drenai, all that, but an undead Forsaken version. And then you have now three, you got your classic Horde versus Alliance, but then we've got this other thing where their goal is just like survival to a lethal extent, right? That I thought would have been really, really cool. How it would have been pulled off, I don't know. But just when I had seen every story beat with Sylvana, she's always wanting to, she'll do the, you know, she'll play dirty if need be. She will serve herself. If it benefits her versus everybody else, she'll go, that benefits her. I could have really gotten behind her breaking off the Forsaken. And I thought that would have been a really cool opportunity to play with different character models, different traits, mixing in like some Forsaken blends with other races and stuff. It would have been really, really cool to see some like hybrids there. So that was something I thought would have been really cool to see.
Yeah.
In like story and mechanics and stuff. But introducing a third faction into a game like this, that I think would be really difficult.
Oh yeah, especially if you're already established on one.
Oh yeah.
Like, how do you just make another one and then not have, exactly, like how can they ever be successful?
Right.
In anything.
But so taking that idea, and then what I was thinking about after I put more thought to it is, okay, that's the base premise, but maybe we have, which sucks for this part, but maybe new race options and like a different starting zone or like a quest or something, and then have it end up similar to the Pandas or the Death Knights. Basically, you end up going back to your faction, but you get to go through as an undead Tauren and go through a couple different things. But you, after whatever that story beat wraps up, okay, now you're Tauren, you're an undead Tauren, but now you're back with the Horde, right?
I don't know. I had that thought too when you were saying that, but the undead leveling zone specifically in Cataclysm, when they revamped everything, was fucking crazy, and it lasted like 60 levels.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever got to play it. I only played it recently with Jason when we did the Cata reboot, but it was really good.
Right. Yeah, that one I believe I played it when Cataclysm came out originally, because I knew they revamped a bunch.
Yeah.
So my wife and I went through and we would make characters on each race and play through it just to see it. And then we would delete it and do it again on another one just so we could see the different changes. But yeah, that's something I thought would be really cool. When I saw all the teasers and stuff for Shadowlands and like her going on that, like, basically it was okay. Yeah. Fuck the Horde and the Alliance. Let's just fucking fight the world, fight literally everything.
Yeah.
So I thought that would have been just a cool idea.
That was in 2020.
Man. Yeah. Let's see here. You had yours. Got any, I mean, we've talked about a bunch here, but any like standout moments from all these games that we've experienced over the last 20 years?
Yeah. So I'll try not to take too long, because I've got a couple. Obviously, a 20-year game's going to have a couple moments for somebody. But Battlegrounds, at the end of Lich King, right before Cata came out, everybody was playing, and we were just doing Battlegrounds with everybody. Like, and it was like all 5, 6, 10, whatever, however many people we had, were playing. We were coordinated. And for once, everybody had the best gear you could possibly have. It was the end of that era, and the game, everybody was playing it. The game just felt really good. We had like people that would heal while we were playing damage dealers, and it was good. I have fond memories of that. We were so excited for Cata to come out, and everybody, like, it was at that time where I had, like, you know, college days, all that stuff. Leveling ults in Lich King, because Jason and I would have like the character where we were leveling exactly the same, like down to like 5 experience, we were playing exactly the same. And then also like we would kind of get competitive with it, where like he was playing a tank and I could, like, you know, we would like, who has a bigger health pool? It's not a dick thing. It's not a dick thing. And then, getting 2200, the high ranking thing, because that was something that we really set it, like, I really wanted to do that. It was how you got the best gear in the game was locked behind, like, you got your 2200 weapon, so you could hit harder than anybody else if you could just get to that ranking. And it was done always an uphill battle, because you're playing against people that already have it, so to be able to acquire it. When I came in late to the game on that one, getting through that and knowing that I just straight up outskilled people that had better equipment than me felt really good. And I did that on my shaman, and that's what I had wanted to do. And that was before I became like an actual adult, so that was fun. And then I don't even know if you remember this at all, but we were all playing one time, and we were like on the edge of this hill, I want to say in like the panda zone, but it was like other players started attacking us, and like we got into these little skirmishes, and you specifically got into a skirmish with somebody, and I just topped you off with a couple heals like right as you went into it, because you were like questing, so I just put you on an even keel with this guy. And you won in a 1v1 fight in the open world, and in a rather unexpected thing. And I was like, Alec finally gets to see like what I enjoy about this game a little bit.
I will say I to the PvP, I liked that type of PvP.
Yeah, like, man, that organic PvP. Yeah. Yes. And that's, I think everybody enjoyed that, but it was hard to come across that in an actual organic way. Like, it's the video game equivalent of a good old-fashioned street fight, dude.
Yeah, because, I mean, talk about, like, just map and level design. They did a really good job of kind of keeping the Alliance and the Horde zones, even down to, like, the pathways you take during questing. They rarely cross paths. They were really good about keeping most of it separate. So when you start hitting those borders between the two, that's where you got that magic of like real world. This is what would happen if the Horde and the Alliance were finding each other in the wild. A fight would break out.
Yeah.
And it was really fun to have it organically for sure.
I liked in that game how you couldn't communicate with other players on the opposite faction. Like, if you type something to them to try to say, like, please don't fight me, it would just come out as, like, gibberish because they had, like, a language barrier implemented in the game. I liked that a lot because it made, like, you would try to use emotes to try to express what you were trying to get, like, the point across. But ultimately, in my experience, it always ended up with somebody fucking dying. Usually not me.
Usually. No, those are real fun.
Ooh, another thing, too. I'm sorry, I just thought of this.
No.
There was I used to play a rogue, and rogues are all melee combat, and they generally did very poorly against warriors. There was a warrior on our server. His name was Nakawichi. And me and him got into, like, a one-on-one skirmish in the middle of something. And warriors at that time had, like, really strong bleeds, which is damage over time. Your character would bleed out slowly. And I had enough bleed on me that I was definitely going to die. And in that expansion, they gave rogues the ability to do deadly throw, where they would expend their combo points and do a high damage range attack as an attempt to basically, specifically for this scenario, you know you're not going to get up to the other player. It's your last shot at trying to finish them off from far away. And I hit the deadly throw on the guy. I did kill him. And he was like a notorious guy on our server. Like, people knew like to fear this guy. And I 1v1'd him. And then I immediately bled to death and died. And then we were playing later on another server. And I talked about that moment. And one of the guys in the server was like, that was me, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, so we like talked about that, and it was, you know, he remembered that moment too, because it was you know, he had the same feeling of like, man, that was a fucking good fight. Yeah. And that guy was a complete shithead bully, but I guess we all were. But yeah, he was definitely like a bully to some of our other friends, specifically that younger player that we played with. He would like, this is an adult that was like bullying around like an 11 or 12 year old. What about you, man? What are your, sorry, I just, that was such a fucking moment. No, I mean, what about you, man?
I mean, down to what you just described, I mean, that was one massive pet peeve for me. It's like the camping.
Yeah.
Like when it's blatant, like max level character against people, like much, much lower, just trying to quest just to get to an even keel. One out in the open, yep, you killed me, cool, move on. When they sit there and that's all they do for like hours, it feels like, and all you're trying to do is play. Yeah. I have way too many experiences with that particular scenario.
I'll kill everybody once, but I'm not going to sit there and do it over and over. Yeah, it's not fun. Move on. But I will get you once.
Yeah, you get one for free. I think a lot of my like moments I remember were when I was in that guild, the Congregation of the Damned. You know, we the making friends with some of those people, we had high moments, low moments, there was drama, there was all that, and it was all interpersonal, like the people at the keyboards rather than the characters on screen, right? So there were funny moments where we were trying. It was like a week or two. We were trying to have as many people on the guild get the mammoth mount with the vendors on the back. Yeah. I think it was just gold. So basically, the whole goal of basically everybody in the guild was just to get enough gold for everyone to all get one. And then when we did that, we basically went on massive mount parades through all the major cities.
Yeah.
Just putting on like the slow walk and just trudging with the mammoth through the streets, all with the Congregation of the Damned, like banner overhead and all that. It was just silly shit like that. Real, real fun.
I've got a million stories that are very similar to that. And you're right, man. It was just a time, like, dude. It was a time. Yeah.
It's like the moments that you're not playing the game, yep. You're more just hanging out through the game. When we would play Sea of Thieves, all just playing the music, yeah, on the boat, just
dicking around. Anything.
Yeah, I remember, just, like, that was so fun.
I remember one night somebody had first got that expensive motorcycle mount, and we just had people laying down in the middle of a road, and they were just trying to see how many bodies they could clear jumping over it. Just dumb shit like that, man. You know, like, you had nothing else to do, and it's like 1 a.m, and everybody's like just smashed a Monster energy drink.
Oh my god.
Or outside of Durotar, trying to climb the rocks and get to the top to get into Ogrimmar by bypassing the gate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we used to try to like fuck around and find like weird ways to do it.
Before flying.
Before flying, yeah. That ruined the game. What other moments you got, dude?
Speaking of flying, once flying got introduced, the chance of getting the achievement where you go and kill all the other faction leaders that went through the roof. Everybody got it after that. I remember going with 200 people. There was a high up landing right outside of Stormwind. Everybody would fly to that one. So you got like 150 to 200 people in a tiny little landing, all on their flying mounts. And it's like, all right. And you start the countdown from like 10 seconds, like, okay, cool. Everybody in. Basically, you can fly. And basically, once you go indoors, it takes a second for the computer to know that you're no longer allowed to fly. So you can almost make it all the way to the King's Throne on your mount. So you've got that many people coming through there, and it was just like, get through them as quick as we can. The hardest one was the Draenei one, because at the time, they still had zones you couldn't fly in. That might have been one of them.
Yeah,
it was also one that you had to take the boat to, because it would phase you out. You couldn't fly, if I remember correctly, at the time, you couldn't fly from the shoreline of Kalimdor to the big tree.
Yeah, so you had to make an official real entrance to get in.
Yeah. And once you're in the tree, it's like you're spiraling down and stuff. There's a lot more resistance to get in. I think that was the hardest one.
You actually had to fight your way in.
Yeah, and for the Alliance, the hard one would be Undercity, I think, was the difficult one on their side.
Yeah,
because it was so difficult just to get through all the NPCs and guards.
That reminds me, I don't want to interrupt you too bad, but have you ever seen the video of the people that would like grab the giant dragon and then like slowly walk the dragon by keeping its aggro and walk it to Stormwind?
No,
this was like early classic or something. I don't remember which dragon it was, but there was like a world boss thing. And every time it killed a player, it got stronger. And they would have to shut the server down, because they would drag this thing for hours, like a huge group of people with like the strongest tank that they could find. A bunch of people healing it, very coordinated, and drag it all the way across the game and then let it loose on the Alliance town. And it would just kill every player, kill the NPCs. kill everything, and it would heal up, and they would have to shut the server down because it would just ruin the game. It would break the game.
World bosses, I didn't know they had world bosses until, well, that's not true. I didn't notice them as much until Panda, because they would have like raid bosses in the world that were randomized and stuff.
Yeah.
But now that I think about it, I am remembering some world bosses. But talking about shutting servers down, I never experienced it. Wondering if you did. I can't remember if it was in vanilla or if it was in later expansions. There was a dungeon or something where in that instance you would get like a sickness, but then there was a glitch that when you ended the encounter and teleported out of the dungeon, you would still have that condition on you, and you could transfer it to nearby people. So people would be transferring back in to the major cities with this debuff on them, and it would spread to people that weren't from the instance, and it would take the entire major cities down. Like, everybody, like, the moment you walk into Orgrimmar, you get this debuff on you and start taking damage immediately that you can't heal through, and you die. And it was taking out, like, full servers.
That's COVID?
No, it sounds like COVID. WoW, debuff.
No, I've never heard of that, but that's pretty cool. Like, that's, I love shit like that, the random. Have you ever gotten it, like, in the game? Did you
No,
ever?
I didn't get it. It was in 2005. There was a debuff called the Corrupted Blood infected characters during the boss battle at the end of a raid. So they would finish the raid, still have this debuff, and how the debuff functioned mechanically is it would spread to nearby players. So it would spread to, like, you'd be a max level person, it would spread to lobbies that would just get knocked out, and it would just keep spreading. So you'd go into, like, Orgrimmar to thousands of bodies, and it would just keep taking people down, and they had to basically take the servers down to clean it out and remove that debuff in, like, rework how it worked, basically keep it in the raid and not let it come with
quarantine.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
So, fun stuff. I can't believe we haven't mentioned Thunder Fury. but on that note, so, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. So, I think we're going to call it here. This is, let's see, the War Within's coming out, or it's probably already come out by the time this drops. Are you going to, you thinking about playing it?
So, I don't know. Maybe. I'll have to see if they ever come out with any kind of changes for my favorite Lonely class. I own the expansion already because Jason got me playing the retail version of WoW. I did not really enjoy it very much, but the cheapest way to... The most fiscally responsible way to play it was to buy the newest expansion because it gave you the current game as well. So I do, I am capable of playing it. I don't have an active subscription to it, but I played for like a week. I played retail. So I'm ready to go. If it's great, I'll do it. But
yeah, I'm undecided as of right now. I've got two options. I got a druid that's at the max as I can get for the moment. And I've got a hunter that is also just about max, within like two or three levels of max level at its current state.
Okay.
So I don't know. I think I'll wait. I'll kind of let the info hit the news and wait for articles to be written, see what the reception is at first and go from there. I won't say I'll never play it. I mean, you and I both have experienced this. We get done with this game and then we're back in it within a couple years. So I'm sure at some point I might experience it. So
Yeah, it depends on what everybody else is doing. Like I said before, you know, if everyone's playing it, then I'll be a lot more likely to jump in. It's tough, man. These games take a lot of time to play.
They
And
do.
I don't think you motherfuckers know how much work we put in for you.
Oh man. Well, I think we can go ahead and end it there.
All right, bye.
Yep, see you, man. So we're a little loosey-goosey with our episode releases right now. I don't know if we have a game picked out for our next episode, so we'll just say that one will be a TBD. But I think that's going to do it for us.
Yeah, man. This was fun. I really like doing these little episodes that are not necessarily about like a homework style review. They're just fun. It's almost like just hanging out with the boys, catching up, having a good time. So,
Well, I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
good night.